So yesterday we had a wedding. Kyle Barkley and Ashley Heinrich got married yesterday. Ashley's not here. I know the Heinrichs are here. I think they're getting ready. They're probably recovering from last night and getting ready for the gift opening thing today. Anyway, so I went through the entire premarital counseling with Kyle and Ashley. We did quite a few sessions together and stuff, and I never realized that Kyle's mom was a classmate of mine in high school. And I didn't realize that until we got to the reception or to the rehearsal and stuff like that, and she came up. She goes, "Do you know who I am?" And I was like, "No, I have no idea who you are. I'm sorry." And she told me who she was and stuff like that. And so I sort of remembered, and we talked a little bit and stuff. And then yesterday was a wedding, and then last night was the reception. And lo and behold, at the reception, there were all these people there that I went to school with that I didn't recognize in so many different ways. And all these stories started coming out about the guys who used to pick up my car and move it. They were there, and they admitted that they were the ones who picked up my car and took it to different places and stuff like that. I had this little 76 MG midget, little tiny car, and they thought it was funny when I was away. They'd get four guys and pick it up and go put it between two trees. You know what I'm saying? Or all these different things, and then it'd be fun to watch Eldon try and get his little car out of the little space and so on and so forth. Anyway, so those guys admitted to me what they'd done, and so that was interesting and not a big deal. It was actually pretty cool because one of them, I said, "You know what, we were laughing about it," and stuff. I was kind of sneering, but they were laughing about it, and I finally said, "You know, I still got that car," and they all looked at me like, "What, you still have it?" I said, "Yeah, I still got my 76 MG midget, and it's in a barn somewhere down in Tuscola at my father-in-law's house and stuff," and this guy goes, "Man, I would love to have that car." I was like, "Seriously?" He goes, "It's in a barn." I said, "Yeah, it's in a barn." He goes, "I would love to have that car." He says, "If you send me a picture," he gave me his phone, he says, "I'll buy that car." And I was like, "Dude, I'd love to sell that car." And because of my good buddy Dave Jameson, I know exactly what I'm going to do with the money for that car. It's going to go to the building fund immediately. So it was pretty cool, but last night reminded me of my rebellion, my rebellious years, because some of the things that people reminded me of, things I did in high school, I was not very proud of. My wife's back there smiling from ear to ear right now. She heard some of the stories. This one girl was telling me that I actually walked in on her mom and dad in their bedroom after they'd gone to sleep that night. I went home with her that night to, I don't know, we were doing something, they were already asleep, and her mom must have yelled, "Is that you?" And she said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Who's with you?" And she says, "Eldon." She goes, "Oh, Eldon." And evidently, I just walked into their bedroom and started talking with them at night. So I wasn't drinking or anything like that. I didn't drink or anything. I was just a little nutty, I guess. I don't know. But I was pretty rebellious in a lot of different ways when I was in high school. And it really kind of cut me to the quick when I had to realize what I was preaching on this morning. And I'm preaching in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're looking at the will of God. And I really want to get to what Diane wants me to get to. I really want to get there because that's what started the whole series. I really want to get there, but there's some things we have to look at, the will of God, that we have to understand before we can get to where I really want to be, okay? So the will of God, what is the will of God for our life? Not just in the big realm, but on the foundational level. First of all, God wants us to be saved. That is God's will for each one of us. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Foundational, he wants us to be saved. That's his will. That's his desire for our life. Number two, he wants us to be sanctified. He wants our lives to be a living testimony of his love. He wants our lives to be cleaned up. He wants sin to be taken away from our lives, and he wants our lives to be a living testimony to his love, to his grace, to his power, to his majesty, to his plan for our life. That's sanctification, all right? Being set aside, being be holy. That's what he wants. That's his will for our life. Thirdly, and this is where it starts getting hard for me, thirdly, here we are, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Thirdly, God wants us to submit. Submit. That's that word that nobody really likes to hear. In the Greek, submit is a hupotasso. It means to arrange underneath. It's a kind of a military term in which you are to arrange or get yourself in line underneath A commander is what the word is. As a matter of fact, it's the same word. This whole section in 1 Peter is talking about submitting to authority, submitting to your bosses, like slaves and to their bosses, and wives submitting to their husbands, and husbands submitting, and we should submit to one another. It's that same word of arranging our lives underneath an authority in our life. And so this passage starts off and says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. All the rules that the government and city government implies in our lives and in our community, even the ones that we don't agree with and we get fined for, submit. That's just a little personal thing between me and another person. Submit. Now he gets it and he understands. So submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Verse 15, here it is. For it is God's, look at what it says. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. You see, it's by God's design. It is by God's design that we as Christians are to live our lives in submission to the authorities. This is hard. But if you think it's hard for us right now, I mean, I'm not going to go political on you. I pretty much know my... Anyway, I'm not going to go there. But if you think it's hard for us right now, at the point in time that Peter was writing this letter to those he was writing to, there was a guy named Nero in charge. Was like the supreme emperor of everything. And this Nero guy was cuckoo. He was nuts. He was absolutely crazy, and not crazy funny, crazy bad. I mean, his persecution of Christians, he would get councils together, and they would stay up night thinking of ways that they could torture and imprison and kill Christians at this point in time. He made laws specifically for the torture and the killing of Christians at this point in time. And this is the point in time that Peter is writing this. He says, we are to submit under the authority of the government. Why? I mean, we could ask that question right now in our own day. Why? I mean, some of the stuff that is coming down right now, Kyle, if you want to talk about governments out of control, talk to Kyle over here and what's going on in Ukraine. You want to talk about crazy things? Talk to the people in Turkey right now. This happening this week. Laos. I mean, you could look at almost any one of these flags around the world. We're living in Shangri-La compared to most countries in this world right now. And yet, we have this idea that, you know, we got it pretty bad. But why should we submit under the authority of our governmental people? Do you know why? Because God says we should. Period. Because you have to understand what God's word says about the governmental authorities, all those who are in authority over us right now. Do you know how they got there? God placed them there. What do you mean God placed them there? God placed our president, our governors, our legislatures, our Supreme Court. He placed the emperors of the different countries. He's placed them in authority. How can you say that, Eldon? The reason I say it is because God's word says that. Take a look with me in Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 2. You can get there a lot quicker than I can. Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. Daniel's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, I believe it is. Chapter 2, verse 37. Am I right in saying that? Let's hope so, because we don't have a whole lot of time. This was a dream, and now we'll interpret to the king, verse 36. You, O king, are the king of kings, the God of heaven. Listen to what it says. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory in your hands. He has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, wherever they live. He has made you ruler of them all. You are that head of gold, according to his dream. You see, God has given him dominion. Not only that, you can take a look in Romans chapter 13. Romans, because you can find that a little bit quicker. Romans chapter 13 makes it very clear, right? From very first verse. It says, I'm in 1 Corinthians. That makes no sense at all. Romans chapter 13, for those of you who are not listening to me like me, here we are. It says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Does that get any plainer? I don't think it can get any plainer. I'm going to read it again in case you missed it. Maybe I was reading too fast. Everyone must, hupotasso, submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. This is such a hard pill to swallow in so many ways for me, because I think when God is going to establish an authority, when he's going to put someone, my thought process is, and I'm not God, but my thought process is that he's going to put godly men in charge with moral standards and a high regard for who he is. That's not necessarily so. I would like to think it is, but history has not proved that. Even biblical history does not show that. As a matter of fact, some of the people who were in charge were just tyrants all through the Old Testament. But you have to understand that God has a plan that's bigger than our plan. His will goes above our will and our desires and what we think should happen. And God is in control, even of those people who think they're in control. And we can trust that. And we can trust him even in these days and in the days to come, because he's in control. And we are to follow the rules that have been instituted by man for a reason. Now, there's exceptions. Okay? There's been you can go back to the book of Daniel. You can look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, Nebuchadnezzar set up this idol and he says, at some point in time during the day, you'll hear the trumpets blow and the whistle sound, and I want everyone in my kingdom to bow down and worship this idol of gold that I have set up. That's a rule that the authority, governing authority that God placed in there, made. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I don't think so. Not going to do that. Why were they able to do that and not offend God? The reason they're able to do it is because God's authority, his rules supersede man's rules, his laws. And so if man makes a law that is contrary to God's law, if man makes a law that says we can kill anyone we want to, we know that God says what? Do not kill. We need to follow God's law. And when God said, you shall have no other God before me, you shall not worship any type of idol, that's right there in the Ten Commandments. Not maybe necessarily in those words. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what? I'm going to follow God's law and I'm not going to do it. But we have to be willing to undergo or take on the consequences of not following man's law. You guys are looking awfully relaxed back there, Elijah. You feel good? Everyone's leaning back? Good? Okay, so, sorry. I just noticed all their hands just went up like this on the back wall. Leaning. So I just grabbed my attention. Annie, you feel free to smack them anytime you need to, all right? So that's my law. So they refused to do it. They paid the price because they were thrown into the fiery furnace. It was heated up many times. And God decided to save them in an amazing way. So God would be glorified. And all of a sudden when they came out of the furnace, if you go back and read the story, Nebuchadnezzar was like, hey, we all need to worship this God to take guys out of the fiery furnace. Everyone needs to bow down to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, whatever his name is. We all need to worship him for his glory. That was a wonderful case. We love that because God saved them from destruction. But sometimes, most of the time, a lot of the time, God isn't going to save us from the punishment. I know this one guy, falsely accused, totally trumped up charges. It was the court system that he went through was absolutely horrendous, completely one-sided, totally one-sided. The punishment that he had to endure was completely unjust. He was completely innocent. You know what his name is? Jesus. Guess what? It was God's will. And I thank God every day that it was. Because by his stripes I'm healed. By his blood my sin is covered over. And we have to realize in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of trials, in the midst of the things that are going on in our world, our greatest witness can be standing on God's truth and submitting ourselves even to the point of punishment. Because that witness stands strong. Listen to what it says. First Peter chapter 2, for it is God's will. It is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins and in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. It just makes me remember. Do you remember what the centurion, what the guard at the cross said after it was all done? Do you remember what he said? This is a guy who didn't know Jesus from Adam, and all he did was see his suffering, his pain, the way that he died on the cross. You remember what he said? Surely this was the Son of God. I don't know that anyone could have paid him a bigger compliment. I don't know that anyone could have said anything better and witnessed anything stronger. You know what? I would love to hear at the end of my life, well done, good and faithful servant. That'd be awesome. I'd just be like, whoo, thank you, Lord. It is not by my might or my will or my power that anything was done. It was by yours. But I would love even more at my funeral, if someone's there, to say, surely he was one of God's sons. He was one of his children. No higher compliment. We need to submit, even when it's not fun. We need to encourage those in authority. We need to pray for them. Not just on Sunday morning, but on every day we need to pray for them. And we need to be praying right now for young men, and I think one of them's here, for young men who are going to be called into those positions, and women who are going to be called into those positions of authority, that they would maintain a spirit of God in their decision making. And they be true to him in all things. This is God's will. Never said it was going to be easy. Never said it was going to be fun. But by following it, we acknowledge and proclaim with great clarity, our God reigns. He is in control. No matter what you do to me, I win in the name of the Father. His name will be glorified in my life. No matter what you say or what you do, my God reigns. Amen. I'm done. We're going to give Candy a big break this morning. You know, some of us have some decisions to make. About coming under the authority of our governing powers. In the big things and in the small things, our God reigns. Let's be praying and make their job a joy. Let them see the power of Christ in our lives, knowing that He is in control and no one else. Let's stand and sing a song.